Okay. We're holding the top line. We're holding the top line until $700. Mishnah said, Parashat Gedolah Kareid Mesa B'Shnayim, that a large parasha, we said yesterday, five or six psukim, they were divided among two people, and we described how they read the Torah B'Shachris Uvam Musaf Uvam Mincha Kareid Alpiyam. So it said Shachris, then it mentioned Musaf, and then it said Mincha. Then it said Mincha, and then it said they'd read it by heart. So where does Musaf belong? Is it the end of the previous sentence, or is it the beginning of the next sentence? They had a question. Hey, what does the Mishnah mean? The Shachris Uva Musaf Koronos of a Sefer. That Shachris and Musaf, they would both times for both of those tefillos, they would take out the Sefer Torah and read that day, that day's and the next day's parasha. Or Mincha Koronos Alpeh Koronos Shema. And then when it came to Mincha, that's when they would say it Alpeh, as if they're reading Shema. Or maybe it means maybe the word Musaf belongs to the next sentence. The Shachris Koronos of a Sefer. On Shachris, they would say it out of a Sefer. Or Musaf, or Mincha Koronos Alpeh Koronos Shema. And Musaf and Mincha is when they would say it. Toshma, Titania, we learn in a Braith, the Shachris Uhum Musaf Nichnas and the Vedic Nessus for Koran, Shachris and Musaf, they would go into Shul and read it, Kedel Shakoran Palashana, just like you read the Torah all year round, which implies, in other words, it's being read from a Sefer Torah. Or Mincha, Yachid Koro Isapeh. When it comes to Mincha, an individual, one person, would stand up over there and read it by heart for everybody. Amr of Yossi, or Yossi says, what do you mean? Yachid Yachid Likris Divet Torah Alpeh Tzibur. Can a Yachid read Divrei Torah b'tzibur? Now, b'chalal, we have the concept that dvarim shebichtav, that words that are written in the Torah are supposed to be read minaktav, not b'alpeh, right? But here he's specifically saying that a yochid is not supposed to be doing that. So there's a number of different explanations in Mefarshim what the difference would be. One is that din does not apply to psukim that everybody is familiar with. Just like we said Shema itself, we said Kekoron is Shema. Everybody knows Shema Balpeh, so you're allowed to say it Balpeh. Similarly, the Tanakhama is holding this by the same token. Yes, you can be reading these sections Balpeh because everybody knows them. The ones from Bereshit, the first description of what Hashem created the sixth day. Another explanation that some Rishonim say is that Rabbi Yossi is saying, I don't have a problem necessarily with a Yochid saying it by heart, but I have a problem with him being Motzi to Tzibur with that. So therefore, Ella kulam nichnasin v'koronos alpeh. So no, what happens is everybody comes into shul, which is what our Mishnah had said, and reads it balpeh, koronos shema, as if they're reading shema. In other words, not like you, Tanakama, are saying one person gets up and reads it balpeh for everybody, but you can't be mercy everybody balpeh. So no, it means that every individual person over there says it to themselves, yeah. In any case, though, the point is, by quoting that braisa, we see that Shachris and Musaf are the same thing. They take out the Sefer Torah of both those tefillos. Again, according to everybody else, Musaf here means on days when there's a maimed and there happens to be Musaf as well, such as Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov or what have you. And according to the Rambam, it means every day, because every day the Anshei Maimed would daven a special extra tefillah, which was called Musaf. Although it wasn't the same as Musaf.
What would they daven?
We don't know. I mean, the Rambam just said that every day they would daven one extra tefillah that was called Musaf. I was saying yesterday or the day before that I speculate that maybe they said the psukim of the carbon tamid in the middle of this Musaf, the same way as we say the psukim of the Musafim in what we call Musaf. Yeah. But I don't know. The Mishnah said, "Kol yom sheyesh behalal en b'maimed cholo." The Mishnah described how any day when there's halal, there's no maimed in Shachris. And then we had a machlokes. What about the mamados of Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah? So we had Rabbi Akiva. Then we had Rabbi Akiva saying one way. Then we had Benazai told him that Rabbi Yeshua said a different way, and Rabbi Akiva ended up agreeing with Benazai. And we're going to see on Amud Beis is yet another opinion as well. The question is, Ma hefresh ben zelazeh? According to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua had said in the Mishnah like this. That whenever there's a carbon musaf, then there's no maimed in mincha. Whenever there's a carbon asim, there's no maimed in ne'ilah. Now, first of all, does that mean only mincha and ne'ilah respectively, or does it mean the tefillahs before them as well? But in any case, the question is, what's the difference? And the answer is, why are we saying that one kind of carbon cancels it by mincha, and the other one cancels it by ne'ilah? The answer is halola divrei Torah, halola divrei Sofrim. One is divrei Torah and one is divrei Sofrim. Now, what do we mean by that? There's several different explanations. Rashi says that it means that Mincha is min haTorah, not truly min haTorah, the actual times of the Tfilos of Midrabanan. But Mincha we have a source for in the Torah. Yesa Yitzchak Lasuach Vasada, that Yaakov, that Yitzchak went out to daven in the field. So we have a source in the written Torah for the concept of davening Mincha. We don't really... Because towards evening. That's the bracha that talks about that Avraham daven shacharis, vayashkim Avraham baboker elamokim, Yitzchak daven mincha because vayitzchak v'soch v'sada, and Yaakov daven ma'ariv because vayitzchak v'mokim me be daven in the place kivah shemesh because the sun has come down. So mincha there is a source for in Torah Shabbat Salah. Ne'ilah is purely midivrei sefer. There's no explicit source in Torah Shabbat Salah at all for the concept of ne'ilah.
Assuming that tefillah is
deraisa. There is a machlokus for shanim whether bechalal tefillah is deraisa or not. The Rambam holds it is, but even the Rambam says that the zmanei tefillah are midrabanan. We said in brachas we learned tefillah obis tiknum or tefillah connect midim tiknum, whatever it is. But the actual time that you have to daven three times a day is midrabanan. But according to Rashi, the distinction we're making between Mincha and Ne'ila is there is a source in Torah Shabbat Sav. For Mincha, there's no source in Torah Shabbat Sav for Ne'ila.
You cannot imply both from that time?
No. No. Because then we Ne'ila is close to Shkia, but we don't daven it every day. So the point is, therefore, that according to Rashi, what we have is like this. When there's a Kovan Musaf, we cancel the Maimed by Mincha. Why? Because Musaf is Daraisa. Musaf is Daraisa. Mincha is also Daraisa. So Musaf is strong enough to cancel the Maimed by Mincha. As opposed to the Kovan Aitim is weaker because it's only Dirabanan, so therefore it can only cancel the Tefillah which exists Dirabanan, which is Ne'ilah. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos learns it differently. Tosfos says we're not focusing on what tefillah is daraisa. All of them are all of the tefillahs are derabanan. We're focusing on what the korban is. The korban musaf is daraisa. The korban etzim is derabanan. The korban etzim, as the Gemara is going to describe soon, was instituted at the beginning of the second Beis Mikdash when they were rebuilding the Beis Mikdash and they didn't have a supply of wood. So it's derabanan. So a tefillah which is daraisa is strong enough to cancel several ma'amadis. According to Tosfos, Rabbi Yeshua's understanding is that the Korban Musaf cancels all the rest of the ma'amadis of that day, Musaf and Mincha and Ne'ilah. As opposed to the Korban Eitzim, only cancels the ones by Musaf and Mincha because the Korban itself is the Rabbanon, so it's weaker. Then Rabbeinu Gershom has yet another explanation. That's why I printed out this chart over here because to keep track of it is a little confusing. Rabbeinu Gershom says the other way around, that Rashi quotes over here that there was a girsa, there existed a girsa in the Gemaras that Rashi had in front of him that said that the difference between Divrei Torah and Divrei Sofrim is one needs chizuk and the other one doesn't. So Rashi says we're not good at that, because what do you mean chizuk or not chizuk? That's not relevant over here. But Rabbeinu Gershom does say, yes, we do say that. That's exactly the difference. There is the idea, like Tosfos said, it's the difference between whether the Korban Musaf is Daraisa, the Korban Eitzim is Darabanan, but precisely because the Korban Musaf is Daraisa, it doesn't need a chizuk. You don't have to strengthen it. You don't have to cancel more ma'amadis than necessary in order to demonstrate how important it is.
In other words,
drawing
the exact same conclusion in opposite ways.
So Tosfos takes it in one way around. Rabbeinu Gershom says exactly the other way around. Whereas the Korban Eitzim is Dirabanan, therefore it needs chizuk. You want to strengthen it as much as possible. Therefore you want to cancel the rest of that day's ma'amadis so they have time to deal with the Korban Eitzim and the honor that they have to give the people and then the simcha for it and so forth.
According to Rashi, the strong one cancels the weak one, according to...
No, so according to Rashi, the strong one cancels the strong one. According to Rashi, actually, it's not really strong. It's not really strong versus weak. According to Rashi, Musaf cancels the one by Mincha because they're too busy.
Right.
They're too busy with Musaf, like Rashi described on the Mishnah. The Anshei Maimon are busy chopping wood and drawing water. There's extra karbonis being brought, so there's extra stuff that needs to be cleaned and burned and whatever. So therefore, they cancel the one by Mincha, but they keep the one by Ne'ilah because by then already it's late enough in the day. Whereas the carbon Eitzim, according to Rashi, even though it's true, you're also pretty busy with it. But because it's only Dirabanan, it doesn't have the strength to cancel a maimed by Mincha, where Mincha itself is more deraisa.
So we're combining both, actually, Rashi. Combining the timing, being busy with being strong.
Yeah, sort of. Okay. I mean, you have a table to summarize it. Rabbi Akiva's original idea was that with Musaf you're too busy, so therefore we cancel all the days in Amadeus. With the Korban Eitzim, you're not so busy, so you only have to cancel the one by Mincha. Rabbi Yeshua says the other way around, that on the contrary, with Musaf, it's true, you're busy, but you only need to cancel the one by Mincha. And at each time you only need to cancel one maimer, according to Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rashi's understanding. But so with Musaf you cancel Mincha, with the Korban Eitzim you cancel Me'ilah. And the reason is because Mincha is Zeraisa and Ne'ilah is Zerabanan. And then you have the opinions of Tosafos and Rabbeinu Gershom that the difference is whether the Korban itself is Zeraisa or Zerabanan. How many maimers it gets to cancel. You can look over the chart if it's confusing.
Take it off and
test it tomorrow. Yeah. All right. The Mishnah said, the Mishnah had described that you have the times when the Kohenim and the people bring wood. There's 9 times during the year, and we described the whole schedule. Why do they need to say these times that are Zman Atze Kohenim Ba'am on the face of it? I mean, anytime somebody wants, they can bring wood to the Beis Mikdash. Yeah. Well, Amru. They said, the story is like this. Sha'olah b'nei Agolah, when the Jews came up from Bavel to build the second Beis Hamikdash, lo'imotzu eitzim b'lishka. They did not find any wood in the lishka. They needed a large supply of wood. But omdu elu v'isnadu mishalahem. So these 8 families that we mentioned in the Mishnah got up and volunteered to bring wood. So then, as we discussed on the Mishnah, either is it that they made a goyel to see which one brings which day, and they ended up with 9 different times, so one of them brings twice, or is it that the first one volunteered to bring from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until whenever the supply ran out, the second one volunteered from then, and so forth, and just when they finished, when they went through the 8 families, they were only at Rosh Chodesh Tevis, so they had to make a goyel for the last one, who's going to supply the last 3 or 4 months. Anyway, v'chach hisnu neviim shavenehem. So the neviim who were at that time, Chagas Chayyan Malachi, made a tonight, shafilu lishka malaya eitzim, in future years they should also keep this thing. And shafilu lishka malaya eitzim, even if the chamber is full of wood, you elim isnadvin mishalahem. These guys get to donate on their own. We don't say it was a one-time thing. We make it a permanent thing. It's their special day to bring wood year after year.
Whether it's supplied or it's
whether they need it or whether they don't need it. No, we're not saying necessarily that they have an exclusive right to give the wood for the next 3 months. That's what we're saying, in other words, is that the chamber may be full of wood, but these guys are still going to bring a certain amount of wood. It doesn't have to be necessarily a supply for the next 3 months, or whatever it is.
On that day,
right. But we also talked about the other day that the machlokes were showing him whether the korban is that they bring the wood itself and some of the wood gets burnt on the mizbeach as if it was a korban mincha, or whether essentially the korban is that they bring an animal, they bring animals or korbanos mincha or whatever along with the wood. Like the wood is given as a present to the mizbeach, and then they also bring an animal or mincha or whatever korban.
In any case, it's a permanent obligation.
It's a permanent obligation on them year after year, and because of that, we've talked about before, because of that, it would be a yomtiv for each of these families every year. We had earlier, we had in Rosh Hashanah, we had the Rebbe Lozab, Rebbe Tzadik says that I'm from the descendants of Sna, who was one of the families listed in our Mishnah, that their time every year was on the 10th of Av. So 1 year Tisha B'Av was Nidcha because it came out on Shabbos. So we didn't complete the whole fast because it's all Yom Tov. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk in Nehemiah, V'agorola sipalnu our korban ha'etzim, our korban ha'levim va'am. We made a gorol about the korban ha'etzim, the korban, the levim, and the rest of the people, l'hobi l'veis ha'lekenu, to bring to the house of Hashem, l'veis ha'veisenu, to the house of our ancestors, l'itum mizmonim, at fixed times, shana v'shana, every single year, l'var on mizbach Hashem ha'lekenu, to burn on the mizbeach of Hashem, kakasa v'atara, as it says in the Torah, there has to be wood on the mizbeach, we are of our korban ha'etzim. So we see that it was made as a permanent thing, Shana B'Shana, right. The Mishnah said that the Mishnah went through the dates that Echad ben Nissan is Arach ben Yehuda, 20th of Tammuz is another family, etc. Until we got to Chamisha Asav Av, we said it was Bnei Zatu ben Yehuda, and with them we said came along the Kohenim and Levi'im, Imam Kohenim and Levi'im, V'chol Mizcholu. We said the Kohenim and Levi'im and anybody else who was mixed up and wasn't sure what Shevet or what family or whatever they're from would come along with them, and we said also there were other 2 other groups that came with them. The Mishnah said Bnei Goinve Eli. Goinve Eli literally means the ones who stole the pestle. An Eli we had back in Beta, a heavy piece of wood that they used to grind things in a mortar. And then Kotzik Tzias means that they prepared dried figs. So what are
in Beta in
Kfir, we've had a number of times already. Yeah, the kfir are dried figs. They used to, in those days, they would dry figs and they'd press them into a large cake. Yeah. So what are these guys? Turn it up on. And Maho Yibnei Ve'elu Ibnei Kotsik Kfir. Who are these guys? What's their story? Amru. One time the government made a gzera against the Jewish people, that they're not allowed to bring wood for the wood pile on the Mizbeach, and that they're not allowed to bring Bikurim to Yerushalayim. When did this take place? Different Mepharshim discussed. Was it Yerovam? The Gemara is going to mention in a second how Yerovam set up guards to prevent people from going to Yerushalayim. So was this also one of the Zedas, or is it later on from the time of the second Mikdash? Is it maybe from the Greeks or the Romans? Why also did they adapt a glom onto these two things, Bikurim and wood? So Marsha says, because those two things were brought with a lot of simcha. The wood korban, we just said every year there was a simcha on the various dates. The Bikurim, also the mission in Bikurim describes how they made a whole procession from every city that was coming to bring Bikurim. So according to Marsha's explanation, apparently it was a time when the Goyim were not quite powerful enough to interfere with the Avodah as a whole, yet but they were starting to flex their muscles. They at least wanted to prevent the things that ruined simcha.
These were the Romans?
The Romans, the Greeks, we're not really sure. No, we don't know. The Braisa doesn't say.
You can't bring the Bikurim, can they? The
rest of the Yeah, I mean, but, you've missed the mitzvah, that's all. And when it comes to Vidui Meiser, you're not going to be able to say Vidui Meiser a few years from now, but, yeah. There's another explanation. Ion Yaakov on Ein Yaakov says that the Greeks or the Romans or whoever it is made this Zera would have been able to use an excuse. Don't be bringing fruit and wood to Yerushalayim because then it's going to drive up the prices. You're bringing so much of it to your Beit Hamikdash, to your temple, that it's going to drive up the prices everywhere else in the country. So they could have used that as an excuse. Whatever it was. Whatever it is, and they set up guards on the roads. The same way, Yerovam and Nevat set up guards. Just like he set up guards to prevent people from being Ola L'Regel, so these people, whoever they were, set up guards to prevent them from bringing Bikurim and wood. So what are the kosher people on the Yerechet, the ones who feared sin in that generation? What do? They took baskets of Bikurim, and they covered them with dried figs. So they shouldn't see the fresh food underneath. The nutlum, and they took them. The eli al kitzvehem, and they also took along a pestle, this big wooden beam on their shoulder. The kivinchi gureitzel prudoy. So they come to the guard post. Amr lahem, the guards ask him, lahechan on atam halachim, where are you going? Amr lahem, and the people would tell them, we're not going to the Bismikdash, no siri. Lachis shnei gula dvela, we're going to make a couple of cakes of pressed figs. The machtesha shalopanenu, there's a mortar ahead of us. Not every place would have a large mortar for this kind of thing. So like you'd go to some place where there'd be a large one. Uva eli chav kisenu, and we use this pestle that we're carrying on our shoulders. And they would let them pass. Kivin sha'avru mehen, after they would pass the guards, itzrim basalim, they would decorate the bikurim in the baskets. The mission in bikurim describes how they would decorate it. They'd arrange the food in a nice way. They put birds on the sides of it that they'd bring as korbanos, etc. Heviim l'Yerushalayim, and they'd bring them to Yerushalayim. And Marsha adds that actually they would use both. They would use the fruit was for Bikurim. They would also make use of the pestle. They weren't just taking a long stem in order to be able to claim that we're going to make the Gula Dvela. They'd break up the pestle and use it for wood for the Mizbeach. So that way they were accomplishing both. That's why the Gemara speaks of it here, Ksherim and Yurechet, because they have both advantages. As opposed to the next group the Gemara is going to mention, who only brought wood. They only get one title.
They brought wood for both purposes.
No, we're saying these people who brought the Bikurim, they also were bringing wood along with it.
Right.
So therefore they get a double title, their Ksherim and their Yurechet, as opposed to the next group that the Gemara is going to mention now, only gets one name, Yurechet, because the next group the Gemara is going to describe only brought wood. Tana, we learn in a braisa, Hein Hein Bnei Samoy Hanatefasi. They are also the children of Samoy Hanatefasi. Rashi doesn't mean it was the same people. It means the same kind of trick that these Bnei Goin Ve'eli and Kotek Tzias. So that's what they're called. That Goin Ve'eli, they're called that because they were Goin of Das. They stole the hearts of the soldiers with the Eli by pretending that they're just carrying the pestle. It's called Gnevas Das, yeah, but they were doing it for a good purpose. But that's why they're called as a title of respect. They're called Gnevei Eli, the ones who stole by the guard, the sentries with the Eli, and they're called Kosik Tzir because that's what they're pretending to do, is drying figs in order to make a cake of pressed figs out of them.
And you're not to lie, or you have in your
when you have to, you have to.
Or you have in your heart, you're not to.
There is that. That's actually when it comes to the dinim of nedarim and shvuos. That yes, there is a concept that if you're being forced to by a tax collector or whatever to nodrin lahorogin v'lamosin etc. Yeah, that in some cases you can swear something which is not true, and you have in mind that you're not really meaning it because you have no choice.
But
here they hear Pashas, they didn't have to swear.
They're going like to them. They used it as a pretext.
According to Ian Yaakov, yeah. According to Marshall, not necessarily. According to Marshall, they were outright trying to ban things that are going to bring simcha. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway. So the same kind of thing is what the Bnei Salmoi Hanatayfasi did. They did a similar kind of trick. Other Mepharshim say it really means hein. It means these people, the Bnei Goyin Ve'Eli, Bnei Kotzik Tzir that I mentioned in our Mishnah, are also known by another name, Bnei Salmoi Hanatayfasi. Turn it up. One and Mahin Bnei Samoy Hanatefasi, why they call that. One time the governor made a gzera that he can't bring wood for the wood pile in the Mikdash. They put up guard posts on the ways, just like Yerubim and Nevat put on the ways, Shalai Yalu Yisrael Lebegel. The Jewish people should not be Yalu Lebegel. About Yerubim, this is the Pasuk describes that Yerubim, after he became king in Melachim Aleph, he starts getting nervous. What happens? The Jewish people are going to come out. Going to be Oilu Lebegel. They're going to see Rechavam over there, especially the Gemara adds Rechavam is allowed to sit in the Bismikdash because he's descended from Malchus Beit David. Yerubim is not. So they were going to think Rechavam was the legitimate king, and they're going to go back to him and then abandon me. So therefore, he set up his Eglazav, and he set up guard posts to prevent people from being Oilu Lebegel. Of course, he was Jewish. He was from Shevet Ephraim. Yerubim. These guard posts lasted throughout the reign of most of the kings of Israel. We'll learn on the last blast. We'll learn on Shabbos, says Hashem, that the Hoshea ben Ela, the last king of the Aser Shvatim, finally got rid of him.
Yeah, many things try to show
that. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So over here they're making a data that you can't bring wood, and they set up these guard posts. Ma also yurecheich ba'isader. So what do the people who feared sin in that generation do? Heviu gzirehen. They brought their piece of wood. Va'atu sulamos. They made them into ladders. Ve'nichua kisfeim. And they put them on their shoulders. Va'holcholahem. And they went along. Kibitri view etzlan. They come to the guards. Amrulahem. The guards ask them, Lahechon atem ha'ochem. Where are you going? Amrulahem. Lahovi goizlos. V'shovach lo'chot mershalofanenu. We're going to bring some pigeons, some baby birds from a birdhouse that's somewhere on the road ahead of us. Over Salamis, Shalkisvena. We're going to use these ladders that are on our shoulders. Kivin Shalvermahen, once they passed them, Pirkum, they took apart the ladders, Vevium, and Ve'elim, their Shalim, and they brought them up to Yerushalayim. So therefore, they're called Bnei Salmoi, Hanatefasi, Salmoi Meloshin Sulam, a ladder, and Hanatefasi, either some Mepharshim say Hanatefasi is the name of a place that maybe these people were from. The other Mepharshim have a girsa, I think the Yerushalmi has this girsa also, not Hanatefasi with a fey, but Hanatefasi with a tzaddik. Meloshin Menot, that's a tabayis. You tear down the house. So like here, they took the ladders and tore them apart to get the wood.
Now, presumably, these guards only check people going in, not coming out. They didn't see that they went home without ladders?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, maybe not. Or they went home on a different route. Who knows, yeah. So that's how they brought wood. And one of the Mepharshim says, by the way, why at this of all things you could make out of wood, why are they pretending to bring ladders? Because the wood for the Ma'aracha was not supposed to have worms in it. One thing we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, the reason why they stopped cutting wood on Pesva on Chamisha Asibah is because from then the heat is not as intense, and therefore the wood might be a little moist and it might be wormy. So anything else that they bring, the guards will check it. Well, what do you need such good quality wood for? Let it have some worms in it. If it's ladders, of course you can't have worms. You can't have wormy right. Wood for ladders. It'll break. So therefore they could get away with it. Sefer HaTadah brings a cute vote from the Vilna Gaon that this story is hinted at in the words in the Torah that talk about bringing wood for the Mizeach. That what we say every day in Tzavos Bnei Yisrael V'Amarta Aleihem, Tzavos Aaron V'Hezbonah Aleihem, Mizeach Torah Torah, we say every day the Pasuk, Uvir Aleihem HaKoyen Eitzim Baboka Baboka. Every morning the Koyen should burn wood on the Mizeach. The truck on the words Aleihem HaKoyen are Darga Tvir. And the words darga tvir literally mean broken ladder. Darga means a ladder, and tvir means broken. So that's a hint to the story that there was going to come a time when they'd have to break apart ladders in order to have room for the ma'arasa. Yeah. So the Gemara says, or the Braita says, on these people who outwitted these guards, and other people like them, who on such people, the Pasuk says, and his friends, and people like that, name of Hashem Rishayim Yirkav, that the name of the Rishayim should rot, which we learned in Yuma, one meaning of Yirkav is they rot in the sense nobody should ever name after Rishayim like them. So therefore, like, the name is lost out of disuse.
When is the Yod in Chavera? We're talking about the Malkus.
So according to the explanation that these Gzeres themselves were among Yerovim and Nevat Gzeres, and it works out very nicely. But even according to the opinion that it was from some later Malkus, since we're saying that the original idea of setting up such guards for many people came from him, so it's kind of attributed to him. There's also the idea, I think some of the Parshim say, that these guys, these Bnei Goin Ve'eli, Bnei Kotzi Ketzias and so forth, they, even though there were guards there, they found ways to outwit them because they wanted to get to Yerushalayim. Whereas Yerovam and his people did the other way around. Even though it should be easy to get to Yerushalayim, they adapted and made it difficult. So therefore, they deserve to be mentioned badly.
Even though he was considered to be a Chotzi and Makti at the Rabbi, but he really did for political reasons.
That may be, but he's still considered a Chotzi and Makti at the Rabbi. Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, and whatever the reasons were that he had for it, I mean, ultimately, you know, it really is an example of, you know, Hakina Vatai Vakovid Messina Sodomina Olam, because, you know, I mean, he'd been promised by the Navi that he's going to be king over the Aseret HaShvatim. He should have known, look, you know, if the Navi told me I'm going to be king, then that means I'm going to be king. The people are going to be going to Yerushalayim. The Epishter will arrange things that it won't harm my position. He didn't, and that's where the trouble began. Yeah. Yeah. The Mishnah said, "Be'esrim roi b'nei Pachas Moya ben Yehuda," that on the 20th of it was the turn of the descendants of Pachas Moya, the descendant of Yehuda. Tana, we learn, and Pachas Moya literally means the governor of Moya. Tana, we learn in a Braisa, "B'nei Pachas Moya ben Yehuda, hein b'nei David ben Yehuda." They are none other than the descendants of David HaMelech. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yosi, "I'm a hein b'nei Yoyah ben Tzruya." Rav Yosi said that actually they're descendants of Yoyah ben Tzruya, David's nephew and general. And Be'estrim Be'elul B'nei. He was David's sister's son. Yeah, the same Tzruya of Abigail. So David had two sisters named Tzruya and Abigail. The Abigail, he had also a wife named Abigail, but he also had a sister named Abigail. Tzruya's son was one of Tzruya's sons was Yoav. Yeah. And Be'estrim Be'elul B'nei Odin Ben Yehuda. V'cholot Tanan Abanan B'nei Odin Ben Yehuda. Hein B'nei David Ben Yehuda. David Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Odin is none other than David. Rabbi Yosi, I'm a Hein B'nei Yoav Ben Tzruya. And Rabbi Yosi says that they are the children of Yoav Ben Tzruya. So it comes out basically you have a three-way machloikus over here. You have Rabbi Meir saying that the one that the Pachas Moav is David. He Odin, as far as he's concerned, is not related to either David or Yoav. You have Rabbi Yosi saying that Pachas Moav are the descendants of Yoav, and Bnei Odin are also descended from Yoav. And you have Rabbi Yehuda saying Pachas Moav I'm not taking a position on. Bnei Odin are the descendants of David. There was three machlokes. The Rebbe talked about it a number of times in Sichas, the deeper idea behind this machlokes over here. That the thing is like this: given that, as we just mentioned, you know, the 15th of Av was when they stopped cutting wood for the year for the Bris Mikvah, because after that the wood might be moist, it might be wormy, whatever. So what does it mean? Anybody who brought wood up until that point, Bnei Arach ben Yehuda, who are bringing from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the next person is bringing on the 20th of Tammuz, the people who are bringing early and of, they're all able, they can go the day before, you know, as far as we're concerned, and cut wood and be able to do it. They don't have to prepare so far in advance. Anybody who's bringing from after the 20, from after the 15th of has to prepare it in advance.
That it shouldn't be moist.
Yeah, they have to cut it before Chamishas of Av and store it and whatever. So it means more. It means they're going to more trouble for it. So the question is, the argument basically is who are they getting that koyach from who are they getting that koyach from to have that extra bit of Mesiras Nefesh for the mitzvah? Are they getting it from David HaMelech or are they getting it from Yoav? What's the difference? The Gemara mentions that David personified Limud HaTorah. Yoav personified going out to battle. and they were interdependent. The Gemara has an expression that if it weren't for David learning Torah, Yoav wasn't in bracha. If it weren't for David learning Torah, Yoav wouldn't be successful in battle, and vice versa. If it weren't for Yoav being successful in battle, David wouldn't have had the menuchas nefesh to learn Torah. So they're interdependent. But it's the question, there's the one who's working with Torah, higher than the world, and there's the one who's working with the world to transform it, like Yoav is doing. So the question is, which one is the more significant? Which one is the more significant one as far as the actual family itself may well have been, that the descendants of David and the descendants of Yoav intermarried, and so therefore you have a family which is descended both from David and from Yoav. But the question is, which strand of their ancestry is the more important one for this purpose? But on the other hand, working with the world, being a virus of the world is also, Yeah. He was punished at the end for supporting Adonai Yahu against Shlomo, sure, but he was still,
What about Avner
Ben Ner? He was killed. He was killed early in David's reign.
No, but wasn't Yahu punished for that?
David cursed Yahu with several curses for having killed Avner. Yeah, and later on Yahu was executed for supporting Adonai Yahu. No. No, I mean he did wrong things, okay, but he's still a great person.
Yeah,
his mitzvah was a kapara for what he did. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Shlomo, he sent Bnei Yoav and Yoyada. And the Rebbe goes on in the Sikha that also that's why we also have this machlokas whether the descendants of David or of Yoav are called Pachas Moav or whether they're called Odin, because Pachas Moav represents like their ruling over Moav, which is the outside world, versus Odin. Rashi quotes over here from a Gemara in Chagiga, or actually in Moed Katan, which we'll have in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, that David was called Odin because Hayim Adin Atma, he would bend himself over, he'd fartifsech in learning. Therefore, and so therefore, that's the difference of the two names over here, and the difference that also talks about between Av versus Elul. It's a long sikha. It's actually one of the Rebbe's early sikhas from even before the Nasius, where we talked about this. Now, then the Mishnah said, "Be'echad b'tevis shavah b'nei parish shniachola." That on the first of Tevis, the members of Parish returned for a second time. We said that b'nei Parish had brought word from the fifth to the seventh of Av. And now again, they're bringing from the first of Tevis till the first of Nisan. And we're saying they returned again, which implies they were the only one that repeated twice. So the question is, Mani Mas Nisan. So who is our mission like? Loira Meir, Veloira Behuda, Veloira Yosi. It seems to not be like any of the three Tanoim we just mentioned. Because, Ira Meir, Lisni Shavu Bene David Ben Yehuda Shnia, according to Rav Meir, that Pachas Noyav is the descendant of David. The descendants of David have already been listed. The descendants of David, the descendants of David are mentioned in the Mishnah that they brought word on the 20th of Tammuz. So if they brought word on the 20th of Tammuz, and then under another name, Pachas Noyav, they brought on the 20th of Av, then they're repeating again. So it should say that Bene Pachas Noyav came again according to Rav Meir. E Rav Yehuda, listen, Shavu Bnei David Ben Yehuda Shnia, and according to Rav Yehuda also, Rav Yehuda says that Odin is the descendant of David. So again, they brought on the 20th of Tammuz, and again 2 months later on the 20th of Elul. E Rav Yosi, listen, Shavu Bnei Yoav Ben Tzruya Shnia, according to Rav Yosi, that both Pachas Moav and Odin are descendants of Yoav. And they brought respectively on the 20th of Av and the 20th of Elul. So it should say on the 20th of Elul, Bnei Yoav and Tzruya returned for a second time.
Yes.
And it doesn't. It only says that Parash returned a second time. The answer is La'olam Rav Yosi. Really, the Mishnah is according to Rav Yosi. Well, today Tanoim are limited to Rav Yosi, but there are two Tanoim arguing within what Rav Yosi said. That you have the opinion that says when we quoted the Braises before that one Braises said that Bnei Odin that Prachas Moav, the ones from the 20th of Av, are the descendants of Yoav. And then we had another Braise where Rav Yosi says that it was the guys from the 20th of Elul, Bnei Odin. Those are two Tanoim arguing in what Rav Yosi said. They knew that one of the families, either Prachas Moav or Odin, he had said was Yoav, but one said the other. Either way, then the Mishnah, the Mishnah is according to Rav Yosi's own opinion, which he said only one or the other of those, not both. So Yoav did not repeat twice, because only one or the other, either the 20th of Av or the 20th of Elul, but not both. Yeah. So Tosfos points out. I mean, why don't we just say that the Mishnah goes according to Reb Meir? We could have just as well said that there's two Tanoim arguing on what Reb Meir says. So Tosfos says because in general, when we have a machlokas that involves Reb Yosi, usually the halacha is like Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi nimuka yimo. We've had a few times already that Reb Yosi always has a good logical reason for what he says. So therefore, we would rather try to shtelai in the Mishnah like Reb Yosi when possible. Other mafarshim give a different answer. The difference is that if we say that there were two tanoim arguing within what Reb Meir says, it means that one of these braises actually contradicts the Mishnah. If we say that the Mishnah is according to Reb Yosi, neither of these braises contradicts the Mishnah. The Mishnah just mentioned Pachas Moyav and Odin respectively. It didn't say anything about Yoyav. So the braises are arguing one of them descended from Yoyav. We don't know which one. The braises are not actually contradicting the Mishnah. Yeah. As opposed to if we said Reb Meir, then we would have to say that it contradicts. Mishnah said Be'echa B'Tevis Lahoy by Maimed Cholo, that the Mishnah had said that on the first of Tevis there was no Maimed because they had Hallow, which cancelled the Maimed on Shacharis, and they had Musaf, and they had Korban Eitzim, and we said that cancelled everything. So Amalei Makshusha Berder of Chisla Ravashi. Mishnah Hallow the Dochi Didei, what's the difference that we're saying that Hallow only cancels out the Maimed that happens at the same time, meaning in Shacharis, you say Hallow in Shacharis, and you're canceling the Maimed in Shacharis, or Mishnah Musaf the Dochi Didei, as opposed to why is it Musaf we're saying that you don't, we're saying that, by, that that when there's a Musaf, then you cancel, the, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that when there's a Korban Musaf, you cancel the Maimed by Mincha. Why not cancel the Maimed by Musaf? So Rav Ashi answers him, well, on the contrary. Hashta delav didei dochi, on the contrary. If Musaf is canceling something that's not even its own, didei like kol shekein, how much more so it cancels its own? Yes, when we say that Musaf cancels the maimed for Mincha, we mean it also cancels one for Musaf. Needless to say, the Mishnah didn't even mention that.
Because
it's obvious. As opposed to, when it comes to Hallow, we had to say that it cancels the one for Shacharis. So yes, each one cancels the one that takes place by its own tefillah. And Musaf is even stronger because like Rashi said, because Musaf you're extra busy or whatever the various reasons that we talked about before, and therefore it also cancels the one by Mincha. Amalei, so my Kshisha tells him, Hachi Kamin Alach. Okay, but what I'm really asking is like this. Lo Lidchi Ela Didei. Why doesn't Musaf only cancel the one that takes place by Musaf? Why don't we say, Hallow cancels Maimed by Shacharis, Musaf cancels Maimed by Musaf, and that's that. Why should it cancel anything else? Why should it cancel the one by Mincha? Amalei, so Rav Ashi tells him, you know what? If you're Rav Yosi, we actually have the opinion of Rav Yosi, who agrees with you. Yes, the Tana Kamp, yes, the Tana of our Mishnah says differently. Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that, but I can tell you at least that yes, there is an opinion that agrees with what you're asking. The Tanya, Rav Yosi, I'm a kol yom sheyesh b'musaf yesh b'maimed. Rav Yosi says in the Braisa, any day when there is Musaf, then there is Maimed, and we have to consider which Maimed. Maimed demai, ilam Maimed de Shacharis. Do you mean that whenever there's a Musaf? There's a maimed in Shacharis. The Tanakama didn't say any different. Yes, most days when there's Musaf, there's also Hallel. So fine, then in that case, you'll cancel it because of Hallel. But if there's Musaf and no Hallel, like we're going to talk about soon, for example, the last 6 days of Pesach, then yes, or for that matter, Rosh Chodesh, because the last 6 days of Pesach and Rosh Chodesh Hallel is only a minhag, as we'll get to soon, then yes, you do have maimed by Shacharis. So Rav Yosi is not adding anything by that. The Tanakama agrees to that. Ela, Maimed de Musaf. You're going to say that Rabbi Yosi is saying whenever there's a Korban Musaf, then you have Maimed by Musaf? Why? Didei nami lo dochi? What, you're telling me Musaf is, Korban Musaf is so weak that it doesn't even cancel the Maimed by Musaf? Of course not. Ela de Mincha. You're going to tell me that Rabbi Yosi means to tell you that fine, there may or may not be one in Shacharis depending whether it's Hallow. There won't be one in Musaf because of Musaf. But I'm telling you, Rabbi Yosi says there'll be one by Mincha. Question is, what do you mean? Korban Eitzim Dachi. On Rosh Chodesh, which is the only other time that you're going to have that you have Musaf without Hallel, you have the Korban Eitzim or Rach Ben Yehuda, and that so you're not going to have a Maimed by Mincha anyway because of the Korban Eitzim. Elul Labdin Ila. So what must Rabbi Yosi be saying that? On a day when there's Musaf, he'd be saying there may or may not be one in Shacharis, again depending on Hallow. There won't be one by Musaf. If it's a day when there's a Korban Eitzim, there won't be one by Mincha, but there always will be one by Ne'ilah. Shema Amino, which proves the day that Rabbi Yossi is saying that only that Musaf only cancels its own maimer, the maimer that takes place at that time. Delav the day ledochi, but something that's from a different time of the day, Ne'ilah, it doesn't cancel. Shema Amino. So that proves it, that Rabbi Yossi indeed holds like what Makshisha is asking, that Musaf should not cancel any more than one maimer. Yes, it'll cancel the one by Musaf, but any later ones in the day that are supposed to be will still take place. Mincha if there's no carbon eitzim, and Ne'ilah. Question is, you might ask, well, listening now with Echa Benissim, Lahoy, by Maimim, Peshesh, Behal, the Korban, Mutz of a Korban, Eitzim. Why didn't we say? Why didn't the Mishnah say? The Mishnah had said that Rosh Chodesh Tevis is no Maimim because they had all these three things. Rosh Chodesh Nissim, there is also. There's Halal, because Rosh Chodesh. There's Korban, Mutz of, because Rosh Chodesh. And there's Korban, Eitzim, because Orach, the family of Orach Ben Yehuda, the first one mentioned in the Mishnah. Amar Rava, Zoyse Meretz, well then in that case, you see from that, Halal, the Bredesh Yachal, Lav Dardaisa, that the Halal that you say in Rosh Chodesh is not Dardaisa. Now, what do we mean by that? Do we mean that the halal that we say on other Yom Tovim is Daraisa? There is a big machloikus we're showing him on this whole topic. There are a number of the Rishonim, when they list the mitzvahs, count halal as one of the 613 mitzvahs, Daraisa. The Rambam strongly disagrees with that. The Rambam says, I can't believe you'd say that. Halal is six psukim from Tillim. They were written by Dabra, 400 years after the Torah was given. How could it possibly be Deraisa? Necessarily, it's the Rabbanon. You say, Asher Kedushanim and Mitzvah, so fine. The same way as you say, Asher Kedushanim and Mitzvah, so I'm lighting the menorah and on all the other mitzvahs, the Rabbanon.
Say, like you said, tradition, and wrote it.
So that's one possible answer. Another one is that the mitzvah is that on Yom Tovim you're supposed to say some kind of praise to the Eibishter. But the original thing Daraisa was just like we say with the Tfilas, that originally the din Daraisa was just that you have to daven every day, but there wasn't any fixed nusach, so that's like the Gola made one. The same way you could say that originally that you had to praise the Eibishter somehow on Yom Tovim. There's no fixed nusach until David came and wrote one. Or actually, we said, we learned in Pesachim actually a couple of different possibilities who first composed these kapitlach anyway. There's a lot of different possibilities. There's another way of looking at it, that when the Gemara says over here that Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not Daraisa, doesn't imply that the Halal on Yom Tovim is Daraisa, but rather it's Medivrei Kabbalah. Medivrei Kabbalah meaning that it was instituted by the Nevi'im. Which makes it sort of halfway between Daraisa and Dirabanan. It's not quite Daraisa, but it's stronger than a regular Dirabanan. And that's another possibility of what it means over here. There's also some Mephoshim talk about there might be a difference between halal that you say on fixed Yom Tovim, like Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, versus the halal that you say when the Jewish people are saved from a tzara, which is, for example, the reason why we say halal on Hanukkah. So there can be a difference between those also, that one is Daraisa and the other one is Dirabanan.
The halal we're referring to, the one we say.
The one we say, on Yom Tovim, and on Rosh Chodesh, and whatever, yeah. Halaluk, halaluk, abdi Hashem, yeah.
How many
it's six kapitlach, kufi gimel, kufi tchei. But again, so one way of looking at it is that the Torah wants, one way of looking at it is that we say it on Yom Tovim, we say it on Pesach, and on Shavuos, and on Sukkot. And that's one chiyuv. And then also we say it at times when the Eibishter saved us from trouble, one example of that being Hanukkah. We say it on Hanukkah because to remember how the Eibishter saved us from the Xeris then. So then in that case, those could have two different bases. One could be Daraisa, one could be the Rabbanan. Anyway, so we're saying that Howell on Rosh Chodesh at any rate is not Daraisa. And how do we know that? There's 18 days during the year. Yachid Goymer Behanas Halal. That a Yachid says the complete Halal. Rashi says that even a yochid has to say it. That even if a person is davening b'yachidus, he has to say the halal on those days, as opposed to the other days like Rosh Chodesh and whatever. But a yochid does not have to say that. We'll talk in a second what the 18 days are. But Tosfos explains it. Tosfos elsewhere, I think in Brachos, explains differently that it means that even if when a tzibur is saying halal, it's called yochid because not the whole Jewish people together. Whatever it is, they say the entire halal, the Elohein, what are the 18 days? Shemoneh Simei Chag, the 8 days of Sukkot, meaning including Shemoneh Atzeres, or Shemoneh Simei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, the Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, the first day of Pesach, the Yom Tov Rishon Shal Atzeres, and the one day of Shavuos. This is talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Why don't we say it's the last 6 days of Pesach? Tosfos brings, because with Sukkot, each day it's sort of like an individual Yom Tov, because each day you have a different number of Korbanos being brought. You have 30 Korbanos on the first day, of 30 animals for the Korban Mosaf on the first day, 29 on the second day, like we learned at the end of Sukkot, it goes down each day. And Hanukkah, similarly also, before we should talk about it, each day of Hanukkah, the nest became bigger and bigger, that the oil was lasting more and more. Mashen ken Pesach, there's no extra nest throughout the rest of the day. Another reason that's given is we don't want to say full Hallel on Shvi Shal Pesach, because the Mitzrayim would drown. Ma'aseh Yod Tevim Bayan, how could he say Shira? And because we don't say it on Shvi Shal Pesach, we also don't want to say it on Chol HaMoed Pesach, because we don't want Chol HaMoed to be more important than Shvi Shal Pesach.
Every day of Pesach was a mess,
so
they were safe.
Yeah, but it's still just a continuation of the one. It's not a separate thing of its own. Yeah. Uva Gola, and outside of Israel, it's Esther and Ve'echad Yom. You have 21 days that you complete Hallel. Ve'elohen, Tisha Simeachag, the 9 days of Sukkot, Shmei Atzeres and Chaserda, or Shemayne Simeachanako, or Shnei Yom Rosh Hashanah Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach, or Be'ezi Yom Tovim Shal Atzeres, and the 2 days of Shavuot. So all other times that we say Hallel, specifically on the last 6 days of Pesach and on Rosh Chodesh, it's not Deraisa, because we're saying then you're not going with a Hallel. You don't complete the Hallel. It's Mashma that it's not Deraisa.
Which
are? Rosh Chodesh and the last 6 days of Pesach. So the Gemara tells, Rav Ikla LeBavel, Rav one time visited Bavel, Chazinu de Kokoru Halel Bereish Yacha, he saw that they're saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Sovel Afsukinu, he thought to stop them. It's Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to say Hallel. Some Mepharshim say that the reason why he wanted to stop them is because he was concerned that they're going to say the bracha. He may have walked in the middle of Hallel, let's say, so he didn't know whether they said the bracha at the beginning or not, but he's figuring it's only a minute, they shouldn't be making a bracha at the end, so he wanted to stop them. Kibben the chazah to come a daugi delugi, once he saw that they're skipping parts of Hallel, like we do, where we skip the first half, where we skip Loilonu on a hafti, Omar, he said, Shmamina, well, then I see from that, minute gabi same be a day. They know perfectly well at the minute. According to the opinion that it's a problem with making a bracha, then they won't make a bracha. According to the other possibilities, is you know they can even Tosfos talks over here, and we'll get to in a second about the whole issue. May as well talk about it now. Do you in fact say a bracha when you say full Hallel? There's no question you make a bracha on it. Whether it's midaraisa, derabanan, all the different possibilities that we just talked about, there's no question you make a bracha on it. If you're saying chatzi Hallel, do you make a bracha on it or not? One way of looking at it is, no, it's a matter of a minhag. You don't make a bracha on minhagim, just like we learned in Sukkah, that you don't make a bracha on banging the arava, which is only minhag nevi'im. And in fact, that's how the Rambam passes. You don't make a bracha at the beginning or the end of Chatzi Hallel. Tosfos, on the other hand, discusses over here that there is a difference. There can be a difference between the arava. Basically, I mean, the actual takana is not really to bang it. The actual takana is to wave it. So fine, that's not really much doing much. Saying Hallel is doing something significant. So yes, even though it's a minhag, maybe you should say a bracha on it. In practice, because even if it's a minhag, it's still an important thing. You should be saying a bracha on it. Which Tosfos says in that case, then if you're making a bracha on Hallel, be careful not to talk in the middle of it, because then you'll be interrupting. Same reason you're not supposed to talk between Baruch Shama and Yishtabach. The later poskim also discussed this whole issue of do you make a bracha on Hallel or not. So you have several different opinions. Again, one that you don't at all, one that anybody should, whether a yachid or a tzibur, and another one is that the chazan should say it and the motzi everybody else. This is how it's written in the Siddur. This is how the Alter Rebbe wrote in the Siddur. Yesh linhoig on days when you say chatzi Hallel, that the chazan should say the bracha and everybody else should be yotze. I'm not sure really whether we do that. I've seen different Lubavitchers do different things, and actually the Rebbe talked in a couple of places in Sichas that it's not such a bad idea to chap arayin and say the bracha yourself before the chazan. Right? So some people in fact do that. Yeah, that's you want to be able to say the bracha if it's the right thing to do. Tana, we learn a braisa. Yochid lo yaskil, a yochid, an individual, should not begin Hallel. But if he did begin it, he should finish it off. Now, what does that mean? So Rabbeinu Chananel says it's referring to the bracha. We said that a yachid, we were just saying, according to that opinion anyway, that a yachid should not be making the bracha on Hallel when he's saying Chatzi Hallel. But if he said the bracha before it, then he should say the bracha after it as well.
The beginning bracha.
If he said the beginning bracha, then he should say the end bracha as well. Other Rishonim have different other explanations. The Rambam says that what the Gemara means is that a Yochid should not begin Hallel on those days. If he began it, then he should say like the Tzibur does. On Rosh Chodesh and on the last 6 days of Pesach, he should still skip Loilanu and Ahati like the Tzibur does. And then another interesting explanation is that it's not even talking about Yom Tov at all. It's talking about if you have an individual person who was saved from a tzara, he shouldn't begin Hallel, because Hallel is really meant for things where the tzibur was saved. But if a Yochid begins saying Hallel for it, then he may as well finish it up. Nothing to do with the bracha, though. The Mishnah had said, "Hey, Dvorim, Idris, Avicena, B'Shivas, B'Tamuz, Chula," that five things happened to our ancestors on Shivas, B'Tamuz, and five on Tishvas. What? And so now, the five things were, the Mishnah had said, the luchas were broken. What was it? The luchas were broken. Yerushalayim was besieged. The Talmud was stopped. The city wall was breached. Apostamus burned the Torah, and an idol was set up in the Heichal. So we're going to go through how we know that each of those things happened to Shivas v'Tamuz. Nishtabra luchas menol, and how do we know that the luchas were broken specifically on Shivas v'Tamuz? V'tanya, v'shisha v'chodesh nitnu aseret ha-dibris l'Yisrael. The aseret ha-dibris were given on the 6th of Sivan. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shiva boy. Rabbi Yossi says it was the 7th of Sivan. We had a whole story about it in Shabbos, where they learned from different sukkim. So, manda amav v'shisha nitnu, v'shiva ala Moshe. So, according to the opinion of the Tanakhama, that the aseret ha-dibris were given on Vav Sivan, then the Aseret HaDibros were given on Vav Sivan. The next day, Zayin Sivan, Moshe went up to Har Sinai. Manda Omer B'Shiva, according to the opinion of Matan Torah, was on the 7th. B'Shiva Nitnu, B'Shiva Ola Moshe. Then the Matan Torah itself was on the 7th, and Moshe went up to Har Sinai to receive the rest of the Torah on that very day, the 7th. Yichtiv Vayikra Moshe Vayim HaShvi, it says he called out to Moshe on the 7th day. Uchtiv Vayav Moshe V'Secha Onan Vayal Alahor, Moshe came through the cloud and went up to the mountain. Vayim Moshe Bahara, Boim Yom Vaboim Laila. He was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So 40 days, how do we get? Esrim Vavod of Sivan, you have 24 days left of Sivan, because if he went up, either way we're saying he went up on the 7th of Sivan. So counting, well no, so we're saying, either way we're saying he went up on the 7th of Sivan. We're saying the Torah may have been received the day before, but he didn't go up until the next day to receive the rest of the Aseret HaDibros, to receive the rest of the Torah. So either way he went up on the 7th, from the 7th through the 30th is 24 days. The Shitzar to Tammuz, and they have 16 days of Tammuz. Molol who are born. So that completes 40 days. Rashi explains on the Pesukim over there in Parshas Kisisa that actually what it was is Moshe went up in the middle of the day on the seventh of Sivan. So the idea was supposed to be it's going to be 40 complete 24-hour periods before he comes back down. So he's going to come back down in the middle of the day on Yud Zayin Tammuz. Instead, what happened? They thought you count Zion Tammuz as the first day. They thought, like the Gemara is saying over here, you have 24 days of Sivan and 16 of Tammuz. So 16th of Tammuz came, Moshe didn't come back. They got all nervous. The Sultan showed them that Moshe had died, etc. And that's when they made the Egel. The next day, Moshe comes. B'shiv sabat Tammuz nachas. He came down on the 17th of Tammuz. Also, b'tavrina l'luchas, and he came and broke the luchas. Because the pasuk says, when he came near to the camp, he saw the eagle, he threw the luchas out of his hand, and broke them at the bottom of the mountain. So that was on Shivas of the Tammuz.
What's that proving?
It proves that he broke the luchas at the same time that the eagle was made. Since we've established they made the eagle because they thought Moshe's not coming back on the 40th day, then that means the next day was Shivas of the Tammuz. Yeah, there were. We got Torah Shabbat Peh. We got a deeper Torah Shabbat Peh with it. Moshe got the rays of his face, but still, it's still a tragedy that it, yeah. I mean, there is on the other hand though there's the idea if the first locus hadn't been broken, we learned in Erevin nobody would ever forget their Torah learning. There are certain advantages of the first locus. And in Hayom Yom Shavuot of Tammuz goes through all the things of the milus of the first versus the second and the second versus the first. There is, by the way, a vart that they say when the people are asking for an eagle, an Aaron makes them one. Afterwards, vayar Aaron vayivim mizbeach l'fanav. He builds a mizbeach. Vayikra Aaron vayomer chagu Hashem mocher. He calls out and he says, tomorrow will be a yom tov to Hashem. The simple meaning, Rashi says, is he meant that tomorrow Moshe will be back, and instead on this mizbeach he will bring korbanos to the Eibishter instead of for this eagle. But there's a deeper idea. There's a deeper idea of it. The next day is Shivasana time, or it was going to be a fast day. It was going to be a day of tragedy. But when Mashiach comes, and as we learned in Rosh Hashanah during the time of the when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, instead it was a day of Yom Tov. So Chag Hashem Machor, there will be a time Machor in the future that this will be Chag Hashem. Bottle Talmud. How do we know that the Talmud was canceled? They stopped bringing it on Shivasana time. Gemara. We know that. We know that the Kabbalah.
Are we going to get the first Tuchus?
I don't know. No idea. Huvka here, the Mishnah had said that the city wall was breached. What do you mean? Yid Zion have it? That was on the 17th of Tammuz. Barksim, but the Pasuk says, Bachodesh Arabi, Batisha Lachodesh, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, Vayachach Araba here, the famine was very strong in the city. Uchtib Batra, in the next Pasuk says, Vatibaka here, the city was breached. So it was the ninth of Tammuz, not the 17th. Like Kasha, Kanberishina, Kanberishnia. It's not a question, because one's talking about the first Beis Hamikdash, the other's talking about the second. The Tanya, the first Beis Hamikdash was breached on the 9th, and the second was breached on the 17th. The Tanya, but Rishayna Hufkar Ibatisha B'Tamuz, the first time around the city was breached on the 9th of Tammuz, but Shnei B'Shavah Sabayim, the second time it was the 17th of Tammuz. So on Shulchan Aruch, in Shulchan Aruch it says the reason why we fast the 17th and not the 9th is because the second Churban is the more significant one to us, the one that we're still in Golos because of it.
What, second Temple you can say? Fast on the 9th?
In the second Beis Hamikdash, they didn't fast at all, and we said it was a day of Yom Tov. Tisha B'Av, we talked about, there's different opinions, whether they fasted Tisha B'Av the time of the first Beis Hamikdash or not, but the other fast, they definitely didn't. They were Yimei Simcha. The Yerushalmi talks about this, we touched on this the other day, that the Yerushalmi brings two possibilities. One is that, yes, the war was actually breached on the 9th, but in that case, the Churban was not on Tisha B'Av, the first Churban, but rather on Rosh Chodesh Av, 21 days later. Yeah. And they bring a pasuk from Yechezkel to substantiate that. The other possibility, the Yerushalmi says, is Kilkul Cheshbonus Yeshkan. They got mixed up on the date. They thought it was the 9th, really it was the 17th. So Marshall says, what kind of a mix-up is that? Marshall explains, it has to do with the Jewish calendar versus the secular calendar. The solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year, roughly. So each month is approximately one day longer. From Tishrei until Tammuz, you end up with approximately an extra 8 days. So in solar terms, it was the 9th of Tammuz. In lunar terms, on the Jewish calendar, it was really the 17th.
11 days to solar to the moon?
Yeah. It's 365 to 354. So from Tishrei to Tammuz, which is 8, which is about 9 months, you get about eight extra days. Yeah. The Rebbe once talked about the idea in a sicha that the deeper idea of it is the when the wall was originally breached on the 9th, the Rebbe says, when you get down to it, when a wall is breached, originally all you have is a very small breach. Only, like, you know, soldiers have to come in single file. That should be an ideal time to kick them off. So if they had done what, if the Jewish people had used the opportunity properly, then they would have won. But they didn't. They weren't Zeicha because they weren't acting properly. So therefore, there wound up being a bigger breach on the 17th, and that's when the city actually began to fall. So it was both. There was a breach on the 9th, but then the major one that actually sealed the fate of the city was on the 17th.
How come it took such a long time for one breach? 8 days.
Because we find by the first Beis Hamikdash, I don't know so much because we don't have any other descriptions besides the ones in Tanakh. For the second Beis Hamikdash, we have Josephus describes it how every time the Romans tried to breach the wall, they temporarily patch it up and whatever. So it may well have been, you know.
Which part of the wall was it?
Yeah, I don't, different parts, mainly the northern wall. Yeah. Then the Mishnah said, Sorof Apostumus is a Torah, that Apostumus burned the Torah, and we talked about, was that the Sefer Torah of Ezra, or was that just he burned all the Sefer Torah that he could get his hands on? Anyway, that's also the Gemara. We know that the Kabbalah that happened on Shivasu Tammuz. And Hamid Selim Behecho, we said that he put up a Selim in the Hecho. We discussed, is that Apostumus also put up, or is that talking about Menashe in the time of the first Bishmanfesh? Menolan, how do we know that? Deftiv, because the Pasuk says, Me'eis Husa Tamid, from when the Tamid was removed, Velothis Shikut Shremim, and a Shikut, a disgusting object, meaning an Avodah Zarah, Shremim, that's desolate, it's mute, it can't speak, was placed in the Beis Hamikdash. So we see that they happen at the same time. Since we said that we have the Kabbalah, the Tamid stopped being brought on Shivasu Tammuz, then that must have also been the day that the Hamid Selim Behechel. You're telling me there was only one? The Mishnah said Behel Selim Behechel, which means one. But a pasuk says, another pasuk in Daniel, on the wing of the shikutzim plural that are mute. So there were two. On my rabbi, today havu, there were actually two. But not for chad achavre, but one fell against the other. But tabre lil yada, and it broke off the other one's hand.
What did they look like?
doesn't say it. Actually, there's a medrash actually that says that the one that Menashe put up was made to look like the highest kodesh. It had faces on all four sides to look like the highest carry the Avish's kisei. The ishtakach, and then they found to have a ksiv that it was written. Which one it was written on? Different mafarshim talk about was it written on the one that was still intact or on the one that was broken? Anyway, it said ant tvis charuvi beisa. You wanted to destroy the house, to destroy the besamikdash. Yodach ashlimasle, but I got back at you by cutting off your hand. Like the one of a desire is, so to speak, telling the other one that. Or Rashi says another explanation, yodach oishlessly, like I let you borrow my strength, and it was, yes, our combined strength has helped to destroy the Vismikdash. Ben Yahyada says of art that at least this kind of thing, like you have like the Getchkas are fighting with each other. I mean, you have all the way back in the story of Avraham Avinu that Getchkas can't fight with each other or anything. But it was meant as a sign to show the Jewish people that look, even the Kerchas Atuma can't get along. So that gives us some hope that we're not totally outmatched against them. But anyway, because of that, so therefore the pasuk mentions shikut sim, because originally there were two, but since one of them broke, that's why the pasuk says shikut, only one, and that's why our Mishnah says selim, also in the singular.